Will you pray with me? Oh, dear and gracious God, speak to us this morning. Call us, claim us, make us your own. Amen. Good morning, New Albany Methodist family. It's great to have the chance to be with you again. It's been exactly 2 years. And I promise I'm not going to give you 2 years' worth of messages. Last week, we celebrated Joe and Christelle, our son and daughter-in-law, who had been married just 10 years last week, last Saturday. They were married here at the church. It's a picture of them. And it's been 10 years, and Joe's still in school. God bless Christelle. In summer, maybe there's a favorite place that you like to go. And when you get there, maybe there's a vista that you need to see, a certain beach you must go to, a restaurant you crave the favorite food at least once a year. Maybe it's a place where you got engaged or proposed. I have several places I can go if I want to go to the place where I proposed, because I would say to Beth, "Will you marry me?" And she would say, "No, no, 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 no." And I'd say, "Will you marry me?" And she'd say, "No, no, 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 no." I finally wore her down. When Joe was studying at Vanderbilt, we went to Nashville countless times. And it became kind of a home away from home for us. That was during COVID, when we were doing recorded messages. And so sometimes I sent to you all a message from, say, Vanderbilt Divinity School. It was rich time in its own way. And so Nashville kind of became a very familiar place. One of my favorite places to go in Nashville is Centennial Park. Centennial Park was close to where our Airbnb was that we would rent when we were in Nashville. And I'd go there for a morning walk, and it was a beautiful park scene, big grass, benches all around, people walking their dogs, or walking with babies in strollers, kids kicking soccer balls. And one time was that when I was at Centennial Park, I need to say to you that Centennial Park was made for the Centennial Celebration of Tennessee, which was in 1897. And as part of that celebration, they built a replica of the Parthenon, which is in Greece. That's a picture of the replica in Centennial Park. And it's just a beautiful replica and a place that I like to go. One time I was in Centennial Park, and there was the sound of a solo sax resonating out of the Parthenon at Centennial Park. And people started gathering around, and I started gathering around. Thank you. Centennial Park is even more famous now that Taylor Swift included Centennial Park in the lyrics of one of her songs. The lyrics go like this. Green is the color of the grass where I used to read in Centennial Park. I used to think I would meet somebody there. Teal was the color of your shirt when you were 16 at the yogurt shop where you used to work to make a little money. Centennial Park has beautiful places to relax, to share a moment, benches all around, large lawns, the Parthenon, and a bench that welcomes home the woman who wrote these lyrics. Welcome home, Taylor Swift. A bench for you to read on at Centennial Park. And so the lyrics for her song called Invisible String. Can you say with me, invisible string?
Invisible string.
Say it like you mean it.
Invisible string.
You're right. It's amazing how popular artists sometimes can illumine fresh insights for us toward God, and Taylor Swift has done this for me this morning. Say invisible string like you mean it.
Invisible string.
Nice. Which brings us to John 14. Let not your hearts be Jesus said to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. But Thomas, one of the 12, said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And that's our first question for this morning. How can we know the way? Say that back to me. How can we know the way?
How can we know the way?
And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And after that, in the Bible, is one of the most misunderstood verses in the entire Bible. John's gospel puts on Jesus' lips the phrase, no one comes to the Father but by me. No one comes to the Father but by me. And friends, the misunderstanding of these words of Jesus has led Christians, I'm sad to say, to do all kinds of heinous things in his name. The Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades, where confessions were required at sword's points. That's not what Jesus wanted. So if we are curious to understand this troubling phrase, no one comes to the Father but by me, from the Gospel of John, we must understand this phrase in light of the passage that precedes it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, this is where Taylor Swift gives me the title for my message. My message is called An Invisible String. So, who gets the invisible string? You're here, I would imagine, because you are Christ followers. Perhaps because you are Christ followers, you are here. And so you get the invisible string. You get the invisible string. There's a string straight from the heart of God to your heart, a love connection. Jesus says, welcome to the joy of your master. But what about those? Now, let's do this a little. We're going to spin this out. We're going to tease this out just a little, Georgia. We're going to tease this out just a little. What about those who haven't caught on yet? those you love that haven't caught on yet, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, is there an invisible string for them? Is there an invisible string for them, a golden thread of love? Now, let's tease it out farther. What about for the cantankerous guy who lives down the street, who isn't nice to anyone, not even to his family or his pets? Is there an invisible string from God for him? If you want to find your way to the Father, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So let me pause for a moment and talk about the way, the truth, and the life. This is not a narrow way. This is not a narrow way. It's a trek you can make. It's a welcoming way. It is not a way, it is not a path where if you wander a few millimeters off course, there will be consequences to pay. Jesus says, I am the truth. This is a generous truth, encouraging deeper understanding, a delight in the knowledge of the Lord. Jesus says, I am the life. This is a life resilient, which thrives among many others as God calls us into beloved community. The way, the truth, and the life. This generous road is not a narrow road. If you want to find your way to the Father, Jesus says, do it my way, live my truth, receive life as God has given it to me. There is an invisible string from God. It's a miraculous thing. It's a beautiful thing. It defeats terrible things. Even as Taylor Swift's song says, she talks about a golden thread that restores relationships gone wrong. Pretty good. She talks about a golden thread that restores relationships gone wrong. And she says, the relationships as if they are bound by hurt and harm in barbed wire. Jesus says, live my way. In John 10, in the modern language version, it says it this way. Jesus says, I am the door. Anyone who enters through me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is your Christ of the open door. Jesus is your Christ of the open door. Say, Christ of the open door. Don't barricade yourself on the other side. Don't barricade yourself on the other side. Don't barricade Jesus out. Open the door. So question number two this morning is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Is this what God really wants? Wailing of a gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25 is really about warning what happens as a result of our action, our own good and bad choices. And let me show you what I mean. Our Lord says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Live like this. And often, when we don't, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you know, there is a place, there's a purpose for the gnashing of teeth. It's called teething. This is Micah, our 4-month-old, 5-month-old, 7-month-old. One of those months. And this is our Micah. And however, teething is but for a time, not for all times. In our country, in our world, we have been acting like infants teething. Just watch the news. Just watch the news for a few days. It's painful. And God has a word for us at this moment when the whole global community seems to be teething. The whole global community seems to be teething. God has a word for us when we act like this. God says, stop it. Just stop it. God tells us what to do. Jesus shows us what to do. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Our baby grandson Micah is teething. It's painful. It's painful to watch him teething. It's painful for him to experience. Yet the Micah from the Bible, the Micah from the Bible gives us a teaching, an antidote for global teething. He says, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The Bible shows us what to do. Jesus shows us what to do. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Live like this. So, what's God's capacity for love? What's God's capacity for love? It's pretty basic. I was astonished to find out that there are 45,000 different ways to practice Christianity currently in the world. 45,000 ways to practice Christianity in the world. Think about that. And mostly, the reason there are so many is that we are so great at pointing at other people to say, you're not doing it right. If you did it, okay, here. If you don't believe precisely in the way I believe in Christ, you're a goat. If you don't believe in Christ specifically my way, the door is closed to you. If you don't believe in Christ specifically my way, there's no soup for you. What's God's capacity to love? Let me just paraphrase a few lyrics from Townsend and Greer. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son to make you, child, a treasure. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make you, child, a treasure. What's the capacity of God's love? You can ask Pastor Rachel about that later. Is God's love so limited to our specific sect of Christ followers? It's God's love limited to any nation, region, or town? Is God's love limited to an ethnicity, class, caste, or orientation? What's the capacity of God's love? In Matthew 7, Jesus asks, "Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for bread, you give him a stone? Or if your child asks for a fish, you give her a snake? If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who long for him?" So, God has a super string. God has a super string. God's super string of grace is for all people, all the people we know and those we don't, as for you and for me as well. As we make this trek, it's not a factor of knowing someone well enough. It is not as if it's a factor of you being able to know someone well enough to like them or dislike them. It's all about God knowing them well enough to love them. You get that? It's not about whether we know someone well enough to like them or dislike them. It's all about God knowing them well enough to love them. So what's God's capacity for love? Pastor Rachel encourages us to do this, to love your neighbor as yourself. And we are committed at New Albany United Methodist to be good neighbors. We're committed to that. Am I speaking loudly enough? Maybe it's a bad time to ask, since I'm almost done. let's broaden the horizon a little bit. Let's broaden the horizon a little bit. Question number four is, what are we to make of world religions? What are we to make of world religions? It's a good question, isn't it? If you're like me, you have some great friends who are not Christians. You may have friends that say they're spiritual but not religious. I've got some friends like that. And I think it's because the major religions of the world have proven themselves to be fragile, fallible, and flawed. Fragile, fallible, and flawed. Guilty as charged. Spent my whole life doing this, and I know that as far as churches go, as far as religions go, we are fragile, fallible, and flawed. But the really great ones spend their lives also trying to iron out the wrinkles and to become more perfect as we go. In the Gospel of John, we get the words, "The only way to the Father is from me." And some use that as permission giving to separate the sheep and the goat, and they might be meaning to say, everyone who is non-Christian is outside of God's love. And I got to say to you, with every fiber of who I am, that is not what Jesus means. That is not what Jesus means. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Live like this. Jesus taught us what to do. Jesus showed us what to do. Most of Jesus' teachings echo the prophet Micah, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Live like this. Now, when I teach the faith, often I will use the meditation on the holy mountain. Now, so I'm just going to talk you through this quickly. So we begin with a notion that everyone has a longing for God. Nicole, everybody has a longing for God. Whether they know it or not, everybody's got a longing for God. It's human nature. So now imagine a mountain that is so large and so magnificent that the people of the world are clustered all around the base of the mountain, in groups, all clustered right around the base of the mountain. And it's a magnificent mountain, and it is perceived that holiness is found at the top of it. And it may be shrouded in clouds, but all these different groups. The mountain is so large that people don't even know that the other groups are on the other side of the mountain and scattered around all the positions on a clock, all the way around. And over time, this is really early human history. Imagine. And the societies are beginning to be formed. They have a longing for God. They have a desire to do God's will. The God connection, a sense of God's longing, a sense of God's goodness. And they begin to develop ways to pray to that God. And they begin to try to please that God and to try to do God's will. And so over time in history, we see beginning to appear Christianity and Judaism and Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism and Shintoism and Taoism and Confucianism and many others. People in different parts of the world seeking to answer the God longing, seeking to be faithful and to thrive in a world in ways that are pleasing to God. And then they begin to discover that God has a super string. God has a super string. And it is for all the children God has made. All the children God has made. So friends, I suggest that we live like this. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. And when I come to this place, we hear the scripture, in my Father's house are many rooms. I see that it's so because I see there's a super string right from the heart of God for you and for you. And to your heart, and to your heart, and to your heart. And in this church, we will always do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Will you pray with me? Oh, dear God, we are sensing that you give to us an antidote to global teething. You are our good God, our loving kindness. You are our invisible string that knits us together into community, and it's beautiful to see. So be with us now and bless each life here gathered. Help us to be aware of your goodness. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's stand together for our closing song. A little bit of Great Are You, Lord.